B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They've got the insiders.
Mr. Jaffe, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich, the 10th annual Hoosier Caddy Classic. Tickets are on sale now. That's going to be June 21st at Brook Meadow Country Club in Canton. Foursomes are on sale. You get a live auction, silent auction, 50-50 raffle prizes, and more. All proceeds benefit the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Hospital. Generously supported by The Long Drink, Coca-Cola Beverages Northeast, Top Shelf Cookies, Stone and Skillet, Anna's Taqueria, Boston Calling, and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Again, those tickets are on sale now.
Buy them now. They will sell out quick. I'm talking get on there like literally right now.
Buy them at 98.5thesportshub.com. It's funny. I definitely want to do another live show coming up here. And if Rich is on board, if we could ride this, I would like to have the waters cost, a bottle of water cost $100. But with that, you have permission to throw it at us.
Yes, I would be perfectly fine with that.
Yep. And so $100, you can throw them from the upper deck. We'll get everything insured.
Yep.
And you can throw them from the upper deck. And you can, if you're a rich man, you could buy yourself 10 bottles of water and just freely throw them. And I don't even know if I'd make them take the caps off like they do at the Garden. I guess you can't get it with the cap.
At least they give you the bottle at the TD Garden, because I've gone to games before and I thought it was the TD Garden. Maybe it was at Fenway, where they don't even give that to you. So if you buy a bottle of water, they pour the Dasani in a cup. And for some reason, it's just 10 times grosser when that happens.
Yeah, and then it's like you're drinking out of the tap at Fenway.
Right. It's like you wanted a water, and you're like, all right, I'm in line. I'll just get a bottle of water. And then they pour it into a cup. I'm like, oh, well, that sucks. I don't want that.
Yeah, and then you get and all the things that can fly into it, and there's no taste to mitigate the flies and everything else.
No.
And all the peanut shells and everything else. All right, Will Brinson is a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He also hosted Pick 6 Podcast Daily. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Will Brinson, hello.
What's up, fellas? Hope you're doing well. You guys sound either a little hungover from the weekend or from the Islanders. I can't tell which.
Well, all right.
All right.
Is this where we start doing the old trash talking with Carolina? Is that what's going on here? Is this where it begins?
They're already down in the series.
I know Fred pissed off your buddy, whatever his name is, and
he was going to beat me up.
No, it's a different guy.
Oh.
He's not friends with the dude who wanted to actually beat up Fred. The guy who wanted to beat up Fred was like a radio guy down there.
Yes.
Who, by the way, threw like some wildly anti-Semitic insult towards me because I think he thought I was Jewish, which is kind of
you were displaying a lot of Jewish tendencies.
Well, he was like, no one with a name like Schertenlieb. All right, dude.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, if they end up playing, and I hope they do, I would much rather face Carolina than Tampa. If they do, and even Carolina's a good team. But
the Tampa goaltender is something else, dude. I was at the game on Sunday. By the way, live sports, incredible.
Yeah.
Good to have you back. And, I mean, Carolina had 38 shots on goal, and Tampa's goaltender, he's like the icebox from Little Giants. He's just bigger than everybody else and bigger than most goalies and just stops everything.
Well, they got Kucherov back, too, which is just, he didn't play all season, and they said, oh, here you go, he's going to score a goal a game. So, they have that going as well. So, Yeah, I would like to play Carolina. I would like that. I mean, I worry about my health and the gentleman flying up here to give me a beating.
Kyle Bailey was his name. He was the radio. Do you know him, the radio DJ?
Yeah. Kyle's in Charlotte. He's the radio DJ in Charlotte, yeah.
Does he like to wrestle?
I don't know. I think he's willing to stand up for his principles. But yeah, if Carolina and Boston play again, you'll probably get some frisky hillbillies coming at you.
Nice. Nice.
I love them frisky hillbillies.
I mean, I can only imagine the pressure of sports talk radio in Carolina. All right, well, Will Brennan, I'm sure it's the same as you.
We got Mark Cody's down here too, pal.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, he's a big star. All right, so... okay, so I'm looking at the TV now, and of course, guess it's a football story. Guess whose picture, Will, is on the TV if it was going to be a football story?
Aaron Rodgers or Tim Tebow, probably.
No, it is. Yes, Julio Jones.
Today's the day, right? Like, this is the day that
June 1st,
when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and Julio Jones, both teams can finally make a deal that would make it would be put it this way. Both teams would save way more money if they did it now instead of before today, correct?
I think that the Falcons could have done it as early as last week because of a weird mechanism in the CBA that allows them to swap somebody, maybe it's like May 27th or something like that. So, yes, today is technically the day, the deadline, the June 1st deadline. But you can, you know, there's a lot of guys you can cut and then designate post June 1st. So I think they actually could have already done the trade. I don't think it's so much about waiting for today as it is about they want to try and get as much value as possible from Julio, and that may come from them waiting because as, you know, we move through OTAs and teams sort of realize what they have on their roster and or teams, you know, suffer injuries, et cetera, you start to get a better picture of who might need a wide receiver. For instance, you know, the Titans are a team that have been bandied about quite frequently as a possible landing spot for Julio Jones, and they make a ton of sense. If you look at the depth chart, it's A.J. Brown, who's a certified grown-ass man. But after that, it's Josh Reynolds. And then guys that you probably, you know, a lot of casual fans probably haven't heard of. And so if something happens to A.J. Brown, suddenly, you know, if you don't trade for Julio Jones, you have Josh Reynolds as your number one. Remember, Johnny Smith is now in New England, of course. So Anthony Firkser is their top tight end. I know they could run through Derrick Henry, but that there's a lot of concern with them on offense. You know, additionally, maybe Aaron Rodgers floats something out like, hey, look, you want to get your man back? Julio Jones will get your man back. And then all of a sudden, the Packers are willing to up the ante a little bit and maybe trade a first-round pick for him or something like that. So I think for the Falcons, it's a willingness to deal Julio, mainly because Julio said, I want out. They can trade him today. So it can certainly happen. But I don't think they're going to be quite as urgent as people think, because they want to try and get as much value as possible.
I didn't hear you mention the Patriots. The more the local guys are talking about it, the more it seems kind of a long shot.
Well, the Patriots are, it's anytime there's a name involved, like any kind of veteran, high-quality veteran name involved, the Patriots get thrown in the mix because Bill Belichick is often willing to take on, you know, veteran projects or, you know, we're like willing to take a stab at a guy who might have huge upside for lower value. So, yeah, and he's been wildly aggressive this offseason. So that's really why I think the Patriots are listed as a possible landing spot more than the idea that they would be willing to give up a first because, you know, you look at, you know, the Pats first this past year, a pretty high pick for New England considering where they've been picking with Tom Brady. I don't think they can feel fully guaranteed that they're going to be picking in the bottom 10 of the first round this year, even with the upgrades that they made offensively.
All right, so, you know, we talk about June 1st, but June 1st, if you have cap space, June 1st is another wave of free agency. Any interesting names you think that might be available outside of Julio Jones, guys that, you know, for financial reasons might be jettisoned and things of that nature?
Well, I don't know that you'll see these guys necessarily get dumped. I mean, today. I mean, we could see a way to cuts. I think it's because all these teams are already under the cap. And I think what's more likely is that you'll see guys designated later as post-June 1st cuts. So having spent the entire weekend diving in the pool for beer and coming away with 60 beers, which is pretty good, in two different trips, I don't actually have a prepared list of possible free agents for you.
Okay. No, I was just wondering if you thought it might be... Yeah.
active because people, so many teams were up against it.
Yeah.
That it might be a little more active this year.
I don't think we'll see it now. I think we'll see it maybe down the road, and then they're designated June 1st. Remember, even if you designate somebody June 1st, you get more salary cap space than if you cut them, but you still have to deal with 2 years of cap ramifications. So at this point, if you've got your roster set, you're probably more likely to want to ride it out, see what you've got, see how the guy's playing, you know, see how your young guys are coming along. You know, you don't want to dump a veteran who might be a good guy just to save cap space, you know, if you don't know that you have a replacement on board. So I think you'll see teams wait and sort of let the string play out. But knowing that, you know, if you have a guy who you could designate post June 1, or, you know, obviously you don't have to designate, he's now post June 1, that you have some wiggle room there.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you about something we spoke with Burt Breer about last week, because there was the OTAs that happened, and with the Patriots, there was a huge list of veteran players that didn't show up. Now, Burt was saying that in some of these teams, like, Cliff Kingsbury had an agreement with the players. There were some other ones, too, where there was a, hey, I'm not going to make you practice as much. If you show up for, like, three really good practices, you won't have to do the rest of them. It was, like, deals that were cut. But apparently with the Patriots, according to Burt, he had not heard anything like that. Do you think Bill Belichick was pissed that some of his core leaders, including Devin McCourty and Hightower, and even Kyle Van Noy, who they just brought back, that none of these guys showed up to their OTAs?
I would guess that he was probably internally, you know, personally, emotionally miffed a little bit. But I think he was not mad. I mean, you know, I think that we all believe the country and, you know, everybody's coming out of the pandemic and all that. So, I mean, it sort of feels that way, generally speaking. But, you know, Bill Belichick, I mean, you know, they had a bad year, and you could chalk a lot of it, you know, up to the quarterback situation, but you can also chalk a lot of it up to the fact that they had a bunch of opt-outs from critical guys, right, last year. So I think he knows that, you know, there's still – I think he's patient. I think he's smart enough to realize that, you know, they'll get – I don't think he's too worried about these veteran guys. I think he'd love to have them there. I think he'd prefer to have them all there. Of course, you know, he's like, you know, do your job the Patriot way, all that. And, you know, doesn't scream, hey, I'm going to skip practice a couple days during OTAs. But I also think that he understands the circumstances and the landscape surrounding all the stuff that's going on, whether it's the medical stuff or the PA stuff that's being negotiated. And, you know, Bill Belichick is always, you know, sort of been, like, he doesn't get too ruffled. He, as long as you're playing within the, you know, the landscape of the rules, he doesn't, you know, you're not breaking a rule. You're not, you know, purposely hurting the team. You're doing what is sort of allowed in the construct of the rules surrounding football and this offseason practices. So I think he's probably fine with it, but probably a little, you know, internally annoyed.
All right, and finally, Cam Newton's going to be a story this whole offseason, the battle between him and Mac Jones. I know you have been around Cam Newton. You might know people. You're a national guy. Just anything on Cam Newton, you can feel free to say no. That's fine. But just have to ask.
No, I mean, not really a ton of buzz on Cam. I mean, I think, you know, I know that with myself and several other people who have followed the Panthers closely, you know, it's hard to I don't want to get. I'm not going to hype up Cam heading into 2021 based on what we saw in 2020. And the biggest thing I'm worried about is not even like the ball placement or the accuracy or any of that. It's the arm strength and whether or not his shoulder is in a place where he can get back to something pre-2020. I did think, and I mean, you guys might disagree, and you know, maybe it'd be worth a deep dive into watching a bunch of 2020 Patriots games, which doesn't sound particularly fun. But I did think that Cam Newton looked better before he contracted COVID.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. That is true.
Yeah. And so I sort of wonder, that gives me a little bit of optimism and a little bit of hope that he can have a much better season, because there are some people, whether it's been the NBA or the NFL or whatever it is, there have been a smaller subset of guys who have said, hey man, after I had COVID, I really struggled to get back. And I've been, you know, like, I think Evan Fournier.
I think it's happening to a pitcher, Rodriguez, on the Red Sox right now.
It's actually weird. It's happening because Fournier with the Celtics, Cam with the Patriots, and Eduardo Rodriguez with the Red Sox, guys who have said they battled to deal with the post-COVID, being an athlete after having tested positive for COVID and dealing with COVID, it affects people in different ways. I would think that Cam would be back to, you know, something close to full strength by the time the season starts. And so if that was a thing, then that's kind of interesting to me, because you sort of wonder how much better he could be this year without having to deal with the full, you know, with COVID. And not having to deal with the COVID offseason.
Yeah, and devil's advocate on your side of things is he looked really good until he got COVID. I mean, or he looked good. They won. And
awful after COVID.
And then he was absolutely awful after. So it should be interesting. All right, Will, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy diving for the white sharks as they slowly float to the surface.
That's right. See you, boys.
All right, take it easy. All right, there you have it, Will Brinson. All right, we'll return in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do, watch every basketball game?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's your name?
I'm Brendan.
Can we use this for the right? Can we use this for the radio?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, talk to me about tonight's game.
Oh, big dog, Patrick. Patrick hat trick. I called the beginning of the game.
Patrick! Anyway,
baby.
A Patrick!
Don't let us win game two. Let's go, baby!
The hats were absolutely flying. Full capacity at the Garden. Full capacity at the Garden. First time in 800 days. The boys are buzzing. The boys are going. Patrick hat trick. 98.5 is Sports Hub. You know it. You know this.
Every day. What are your thoughts on Zolak?
Zolak.
How does it feel to be back at the Garden at full capacity?
Unreal. It feels tremendous. It feels amazing. Everything in my body is buzzing.
I'm tingling. Boston Garden is an electric factory. Causeway's on fire.
Dirty Water is playing. The boys are feeling it right now. The boys are buzzing all around this place. This is full capacity Boston Bruins. This is what we need. This is what we got.
Because it's the Bruins of the ball.
Did you guys boo at the announcement that there's a 2-beer limit? Did you guys boo at that?
I wasn't inside, but if I did, I'd be booed.
If you could say anything to the Boston Bruins, what would it be?
The Bruins of the ball.
By the way, in fairness, that was PB before bottle incident. This went before Boston became the height of such intense violence.
By the way, they have moved that gentleman's hearing. It's supposed to be today until tomorrow. And I know that all these people who are camped out to, you know, interview, get footage of the quote-unquote biggest racist in all of Boston. unfortunately, they've all got to find different assignments today.
Well, I hope that they're on it because every level of mischief needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Would you rather have your house egged or someone lob a water bottle at you? Would you rather have someone light dog poop on your front porch or lob a water bottle at you? I'd rather have someone lob a water bottle at me than ding dong ditch me so I didn't have to get up and answer the door.
So this guy has been in jail and will be in jail until tomorrow. Like, he got arrested.
He got arrested at the building, right?
After it happened. And he's been in jail, and he has to wait until tomorrow to have a chance of getting out of jail.
My understanding would be this guy's not going to do any jail time. But my understanding
already has.
Well, I was getting to that. My understanding is that like, you never want to get arrested before a holiday because you have to be seen by a judge and none of the judges are working on the holiday, so...
Yeah, you're supposed to be arraigned this morning or whenever, but that's been moved back.
And then technically, they set the $2 billion bail.
Yeah, technically, this is a felony, so he's in jail, right?
Yeah, it's a felony right now. If the DA pushes for a felony, this is mischief. This is like mischief.
You threw an empty water bottle and it missed somebody. Like an empty water or half empty, whatever it is. You threw it and it
full.
Wasn't
full. Who cares? It's
it doesn't matter. But it missed somebody, and all of a sudden you are looking at a potential 10 years in prison.
And then you have a guy from Yahoo like, yep. Yeah. I mean, that's Boston for you. Oh, yeah, us Boston with our silly mischief. That's mischief. Like, there's things that people do that are wrong, especially kids like this guy. And I understand he should be tried as an adult because he's 21. But kids do dumb stuff. There's not always some huge reasoning for it. He was probably a big Celtics fan and got all caught up in it. I mean,
you nailed it, though. You said the look.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the jersey wrong. Yeah, it's Garnett jersey and not, of course.
He was too young for the... Well, it's good that he was young because if he was like an older, like fat dude with a bird jersey and like a sunburn, then it would have really been... They would have been like, look, typical Boston fan. And all of this is not to dismiss or diminish anything Boston has done or had. Something might even happen in that game. But get out of here with that lobbing a plastic water bottle at someone is tantamount to burning a cross. Let's get out of here with that.
Well, that's also, you know, they're saying,
or pulling a gun on a guy. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, he's just saying, like, you know, getting arrested. I don't know if he's been in jail the whole time. I don't know if you.
I'm guessing he has been.
Yeah. You don't have a chance to make bail at
all? No, because you have to see a judge to set bail.
Yeah, you have to see. Yeah. You have to be arraigned on the charges.
When you got arrested for your mischief in Atlanta,
which was expunged, which means it never happened and I was falsely accused.
Oh, fair enough. But. Fair enough.
It's absolutely true.
But I'm making a point to you. Didn't you have to wait to see a judge to get bail set?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No. No.
Okay. Because weren't they going to move you to county at some point?
Oh yeah. So I was about to go upstairs, and then someone came and got me out. And I did not have to see a judge.
Okay.
And when I saw the judge, that's when he expunged it. That's when he was like, "Well, the charge never happened."
Well, something has to happen between the time that you're put into, and then the bail amount being set. Something has to happen. I don't know what happened in your case, but something has to happen. They have to set bail. I know that because they always say, "Don't get arrested on a Saturday night," or "Don't get arrested before a holiday." I mean, I've read it in a million books.
Well, in Mardi Gras, don't get arrested in Mardi Gras because then you have not only Mardi Gras, they're not working, and then the courts are closed on Ash Wednesday, and then you got to wait till Thursday until.
And I'm sure their judges are in a big hurry to get.
Sure.
And I'm sure that they're not overcrowded at all, the jail cells.
No.
A bunch of people kicking alcohol and drugs and everything in the same cells. Can you imagine the smell?
I've never seen anything like midnight on Fat Tuesday.
All right. I might be incorrect about everything I'm saying, so if it matters to people, here is Dan. Dan, you are a defense attorney. Tell me the situation this gentleman's probably in.
So here we go. You've got to have a complainant for an assault charge. So who would the complainant be in this case?
Kyrie Irving.
Or TD Garden.
Or the TD Garden.
Or TD
maybe?
Garden.
No, you have to have a victim. Who is the victim in this case?
Well, I guess it would be Kyrie Irving because the TD Garden.
Okay, so you're going into the case. Just in terms of him getting out of jail on bail, what would is he out now or what would have to happen?
It's probably $40. I can't see a felony charge.
No, he's not going to get charged with a felony. We know that. But
let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Without a victim, you don't have a felony charge. So unless he signed a complaint or unless some representative of his signed a complaint, I can't see this him being charged with an assault.
Yeah. Well, I realize that. But is he in jail right now or have they said?
He shouldn't be. It should be a $40 bail. He probably got out 4 or 5 hours after he went in.
I stand corrected.
So he has been arraigned on a charge of assault and battery with a deadly weapon. What does that mean? Like, does that mean he's charged?
He hung up. I didn't hang up on him. He hung up.
Because then, once again, thank goodness I haven't been in trouble enough to really know what the difference is. But, I mean, this is being thrown out there.
No, he's
arraigned on a charge of assault and battery.
Arraigned means that he saw a judge, I think.
Yeah, you stand in front of a judge.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was scheduled to be arraigned, yes. but it says on a charge of assault and battery dangerous weapon,
but
not
then,
deadly.
Then that all gets worked out. He's not going to end up with a felony. Because I got news for you. If that's a felony, then, I mean, I think that's mischief. That's just stupid mischief. That's less than stealing a bike, like a bicycle, or pushing a kid off, like another kid pushing a kid off, like, the playground. I mean, come on. I mean, that's dumb mischief.
Yeah. I just wonder if the rules are different, as John was saying, for a felony charge than a misdemeanor.
Yeah, maybe. It shows what I know. I thought I was almost positive that they had to set bail for you to get bailed out of jail. And I don't know about a $40 bail for a felony charge, because even though the charge won't stick, I mean, it is still
technically a felony, yes.
But I guess that's the deal. All right. I mean, lots of people. We have many, many people involved in the court system.
We live in Boston. There's a lot of lawyers and doctors here. A lot of people smarter than us.
Maybe a doctor. I don't know if a lawyer has to be necessarily smarter than us. Kyle, go ahead. There's a lot of dumb lawyers. Kyle, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just so this is about Kyrie, not about the water
That's
bottle.
That's fine.
That's fine.
I just want to take you guys back to December 18th, I think, and that's the day Kyrie smudges the Garden. And does anyone remember what he said the reason for his smudging was?
Yeah, he wanted to get rid of all the bad vibes and bad spirits surrounding the court, cleanse the building.
Right. So where does stepping on the logo cleanse the building or bring good tribe spirit
that's a good point
into the building?
Yeah, he seems to be
a total fraud.
Wait, are you telling me that he flies, his attitude flies with the wind?
Kyle, the number one evidence of fraud is that he's complaining of, like, this assault of a water bottle when he himself, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, threw a basketball into the crowd at a bunch of fans and got in trouble for it. And that, and his excuse, we played it earlier, was like, you know, you would have done the same thing if you were me.
All right, Kyle, by the way, you're right, and I, for a few weeks of my life a year ago, was knee-deep in daily yoga and smudges and everything else, and everything Kyrie says is like someone who read the first sentence of the chapter of the book and is just kind of flying by the seat of his pants, so yes.
Who did he get that from, Fred? Who's his best friend who reads cover one of every book he reads?
Listen, LeBron James is 10 times the man that Kyrie Irving is.
No question.
1,000 times.
Yeah. LeBron James has never been afraid of anybody.
No, LeBron
like
James.
Like on the basketball court?
Mm-hmm. LeBron James would not have taken that crap. You wouldn't like it if you were stepping all over his logo. And again, the only reason I care, and I realize it's silly, the logo thing, but the only reason I care is because the NBA I find difficult to watch anyway. I know, it's me. Okay, that's just my problem. If it really becomes us against them, the players versus the fans, and you know what, Kyrie, good job. You know, everything is okay now. Everything you say and do is okay, because someone lobbed a water bottle at you, and, you know, we're in front of all these crazy animals, and let's just get this season over with, is not a point of pride. Because if you play basketball and you're getting paid for it, in order for me to watch it, I have to think that you care, and that, you know, there is a personal pride, and it's a physical game. Talk to any basketball coach. It's supposed to be a physical game. There's a reason you guys are all big. There's a reason you guys are all muscular. I mean, you got to get in there. You got to throw your body around.
I just quickly want to play these two clips back to back. This is Kyrie Irving, the first clip, him talking about how he felt when the water bottle was thrown his way. And the second clip is him justifying launching a basketball into the crowd. Clip number one.
It doesn't matter, honestly, Malika. It's just these actions, like I said, are historically relative when you think about just where we've come as a sport. You know, it used to happen back in the day. A lot of older players went through it. And any great person, great entertainer, performer, understands that when you're achieving something bigger than yourself, you know, you're going to have a lot of adversity, animosity, and you just got to figure out a way to deal with it. So tonight, I think we collectively dealt with it. Anything could have happened with that water bottle being thrown at me, but, you know, my brothers were surrounded around me. I had people in the crowd. So just trying to get home to my wife and my kids.
Okay, so there's him feeling awful because somebody threw a water bottle towards him.
Who could have known it happened?
And here is his explanation for launching a basketball into the crowd where the fans were.
I mean, what kind of competitor wouldn't bother? You know what I'm saying? So, like, I understand if we fouled him, going to the free throw line. I don't want to make a big deal out of it. Obviously, I was pissed off at the game, but it's time to decompress and move on. Congratulations to him out of the 48 points. You know, he did it in a great fashion against us. You know, our defense has to be better, especially against a player like that, mid pick and roll. You know, he was a primary concern tonight, and, you know, he made us pay in certain instances of just making some tough shots and some tough layups, and, you know, but the ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that, so do it in the crowd.
You know, the guy who threw the bottle supposedly on the phone, but his phone sucks, so it got cut off.
Oh.
Did you tell him to call back? Did you get his number?
I'm sure he's going to have him call back. I'm surprised he's...
I'm sure it's him.
Yeah. I don't know. I got up and asked.
Maybe.
I didn't get upset. I just got up and asked. Anthony wants to share a personal experience. Anthony, go ahead.
Hi. No, I was just calling because of the bail thing. I've unfortunately been arrested for a misdemeanor and felony, and there's different classes of felony. What he did, he definitely... would be out on bail. And even though it's just a $40, that's what you're paying the bondsman. That doesn't mean the bail is $40.
Yeah.
If you don't show up for court, it's like thousands and thousands of dollars.
Well, it's what is it, like 10% of the actual bail? So 40 would be...
So it's not...
Okay.
All right, thank you. Okay, all right. Well, shows what I know. I just know... I have friends that have been put in jail for minor crap and then had gotten stuck there because they couldn't get anyone to set their bail. But nonetheless, I mean, if the guy's out and running the streets, I mean, just be very careful because he could be throwing water bottles. Yes.
Just a quick relay from Nick. It was a gentleman that threw a bottle at Eric Gagne in 2007 who he wanted to relay his experience with that. That was the caller that dropped
it. Yeah, that story didn't get as many likes. Did Eric Gagne after the game go, what a traumatic incident he's just been through?
No.
Show me a performer that's never been had anything thrown at them. I mean, Rich was in a metal band. He had things thrown at him at every show. I've had things thrown at me on stage. Had glass bottles thrown at me. Now, I don't like that, and that could kill me or wound me. And Esoteric texted me and said that he had a firecracker thrown at him. That's no good either.
But then again, I think there's probably something you sign when you do the Gathering of the Juggalos.
That says, listen, firecrackers will be thrown.
That's right.
Like, I can't guarantee you'll be able to see after this show.
It's the Hell Yeah Rider. It's livestock, poultry, all be thrown.
Well, hell yeah, rest in peace. The Jägermeister Tour.
That's right. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, we're such a good band. All right, Rich. We have discussed the... if it was Malice at the Palace, should it be... what should it be? Gruesome at the Garden? Or what should we call this? horrible incidents that happened. And I hope all the writers are very, very happy with themselves that they blew this up into nothing. And by the way, ruin the kid's life while you're at it. Like, just keep printing his name around racist crap.
If you're, like, digging into all this stuff to his history, I'm like,
dig right into it. Yeah, just, I mean, what a fool. Mischief. I mean, come on, people. There's mischief. People do dumb things that are mischievous. I don't know what would have happened to me. I had family in the crowd. All right. Well, did anything happen to your family in the crowd? No. All right. Shut up. Your family shouldn't be harassed in the crowd. Yes, I agree. Which is 10 times worse than getting a water bottle thrown at you. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stack of Rooski?
Well, despite that story, Massachusetts isn't the rudest state in the country, but number one is real close to us.
It's racist.
People actually went to the movies this weekend, and the greatest film crossover event could be happening.
All right. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but perhaps you can explain it. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich... real quick, Cassidy talked to the media. Rask is going to play. He's got some nagging injuries.
That's not at 100%, according to Cassidy.
Which, again, I hope upon hope he plays very well in this playoffs, but no, thank you for your service.
Something happened in that second period yesterday.
Well, I mean, he had the back injury. I mean, he's been dealing with stuff for the last couple of months.
But it was the first time that it's been apparent that he was off during these playoffs. And you know, once again, there's a lot of stuff we don't see on TV. But I know I saw a bunch of writers who were there talking about how when he would fall down, he would take a while to get back up, to the point where, as I said, Joe McDonald, who reports on the Bruins, speculated that he believed that Swayman could have come in the third period. It had gotten to be so bad. So if it's just his injuries piling up and starting to nag him, and it got to a point where, you know, it had all caught up to him, then that's interesting to me. Did he get hurt in the second period and it was a hit that I didn't see? Or maybe just there was, you know, like a pile or a couple of them where it just hit him the wrong way? I don't know.
He's had issues and he could have tweaked something.
I think he's been working his way through this stuff. Even though it hasn't looked that way, I don't think his issues from a month or two ago have gone away. I think this is something he continues to work through. And yeah, he tweaked something during the Islander game, but he hasn't been completely healthy the entire time.
Well, he skipped that practice the other morning.
Yeah, I mean,
too,
there are maintenance days that are needed. Right now, the Bruins' number one focus is to get him through the next month or two. And once they do that, then they can make the decision. But right now, you don't have a guy who's perfectly healthy. They're doing what they have to do to keep him upright and moving and playing.
Well, keep an eye on him, because if he's at 70%, I want a Swayman.
Well, we'll see how he does. I mean, he's going to play.
Yeah.
He's going to play the next game.
Again, for the record, because everyone will hear what they want to hear, my hope is, upon hope, Tuukka Rask plays for this entire playoffs. Then after the season, I don't want to have them resign him. But then, after that, if he is obviously not 90-80%, I would rather have Swayman in goal.
See, I thought he was going to have to completely collapse for them to take him out and put Swayman in. But now, with this news, maybe the leash is a little shorter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe now they're...
I would agree.
So I think that... You may.
I don't think Bruce Cassidy says that this morning.
But that's how he feels. No.
With goal, same with pitchers, John. Yeah, you don't say stuff like that. You don't go like, you know, we're keeping an eye on him, we might take him out. I mean, no.
This is the trial. But saying something like he's not 100%, that leaves the door open. Sure. It's kind of like a trial balloon out there. You float that out there and you say, okay.
Let's put it this way. Swayman's preparation, if it wasn't already on point this next couple of days, he's working.
Yep.
He's going to be up to speed.
Yep.
So, by the way, I was just telling Fred off the air, and I don't know, John, if you... I watched like four movies this weekend. I finally got to see the end of Troll Hunters, which is a movie that was made out in... It's like Norway. I love weird-ass Norwegian movies. Yeah. But it's actually all right. It's like a found footage movie, which is kind of a lame formula, but it works.
Okay.
And it's about this like guy, these three college students are trying to film a documentary about this guy who apparently is in trouble with the Norwegian government. And it's all in subtitles, because he's apparently poaching a bunch of bears. But then the more that they run into this guy, they find out that he's actually some dude who is like secretly saving all of Norway because the government pays him to kill all of the trolls that try to attack cities.
so they don't know about
so
it.
Where scary.
The trolls live?
Oh, in the middle of like the mountains of Norway.
Oh, they come the budget rushing on off this, the fjords. And
I can only imagine the Norway budget, the budget of the people of Norway right. for these films.
So I guess this movie got such a buzz, and like the Rotten Tomatoes on it are really good. It's something like 90%.
They all love trolls.
They love troll movies. Of course, who does not love trolls? Except for Troll 2, which of course is known as one of the worst movies of all time. But there was a, I guess it got such a buzz that like Hollywood is now going to be using this director to do some of their big budget films because the guy was such a badass, and that's pretty good. Oh, and then I watched part of Army of the Dead, which is that new Zack Snyder movie.
Right.
And,
a lot of people don't like that movie.
With Bautista. It was fine. The one thing that I thought was the most interesting about it was that, first of all, Zack Snyder needs to get an editor. Like, that movie was almost 3 hours long, and it's a movie about zombies in Las Vegas. Now, Zack Snyder has made one great movie. One. And that was his Dawn of the Dead movie when he first came onto the scene. It killed. It was great. So I had high hopes. It was fine. But the thing is about it, there was an actor in it. Who's the guy who was, oh, man. He had the long, he's the comedian with the long hair, long black hair. He just got in trouble for, I guess, like sexually harassing some woman. Chris D'Elia, is that his name?
Chris D'Elia.
Yeah, Chris D'Elia. He got taken out of the movie. He had filmed all of his scenes. And so Zack Snyder got Tig Notaro to be in the movie. And it's a movie that's almost like The Magnificent Seven. There's a group of them throughout the whole thing, all fighting zombies together. And she apparently filmed each one of her scenes with no one else, all on her own. And they digitally inserted her into every single scene. And so my whole game was trying to figure out how they were doing it. And that's a mind F as well, so that was pretty good. And then finally, I finally watched the Nobody movie with Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, how is that?
It's good. You know what it is? I mean, it's a complete ripoff of John Wick.
Okay.
But it's Bob Odenkirk, so he's good, he's likable. Sure. And apparently, I guess, Bob Odenkirk's character in Nobody lives in the same universe as John Wick, who lives in the same universe as Charlize Theron in Atomic Blonde, and they're all going to be in a crossover movie together.
I like it.
And I'm in on that.
I like that.
But speaking of crossovers, John Wallach, that brings us to this. There was a leak that came out of the whole Universal Studios, because if you go to Universal Studios, you will learn that their two biggest franchises right now are none other than Jurassic Park and another franchise that they're saying that there might just be a crossover, The Fast and the Furious. The director of the new Fast and the Furious movie was asked about whether or not this crossover was a real thing, and he said, we never say never, and then winked.
They think that people are so dumb.
I am so dumb, and I'll see it.
They go,
I'm drawing the line there. No,
they just go, like, here's two things people like, put their names in the title.
You can have any herbivore you want, as long as it's an iguana.
They've done this, though. Wasn't there a movie called Cowboys and Aliens? I mean, they've done this. And
Vin Diesel punches dinosaurs?
John. They never make movies anymore that are derivative of anything.
That's true.
Don't ever turn your back on a family of raptors.
If Hollywood is just screaming with fresh ideas.
That's right.
Because there's no one who wants to write movies that possibly has written anything of merit that hasn't been made, because everyone's running around with these stupid superhero movies that are boring for the most part. My opinion.
Just replace Paul Walker with, you know, the Ichthyosaurus.
But it could be like a kick-ass-a-saurus, and it just it has the ability to drive monster trucks.
Never.
He's the Coronasaurus. He just crushes brews all day.
He's the Coronasaurus. He's always got a lime tree. He's just taking the lime.
You almost had me. You never had me. You never had your Apatosaurus.
Oh, boy.
That would be the greatest.
To be a screenwriter in Hollywood has got to be a tough gig, man. That, I mean, they won't make anything. They won't give you a budget unless you're making garbage. I'm a nice man. Unless you are making garbage.
A lot of people went to the movies this weekend, though.
That's a good sign.
Quiet, I would have if anything was playing.
Quiet Place ended up making like 50-something million movies. That's not dollars. That
Krasinski
is not
wrote
bad.
That,
my
right?
daughter saw Cruella, and then it's 2 hours and 15 minutes long, came home, and then told me the plot of Cruella for about 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Did she immediately turn gay? Because apparently there's a lot of people who have a big problem with Disney having gay people in their movies.
Yeah, probably. I'm guessing. I'm working on a lawsuit.
So you know what these dinosaurs can't beat? Family.
No, that's right. They don't have families of their own. All right. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. The Celtics better do something tonight. They better be physical tonight. Or out on them. All right, we'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.